KCH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump said to begin his meeting with China's President Xi, the two leaders engaging in South Korea. ABC's Rachel Scott traveling with the president.
The president says there's a framework of a deal on everything from tariffs to fentanyl to ending the Chinese boycott of American soybeans that has pushed some American farmers toward bankruptcy. It would also loosen restrictions on China's sale of rare earth minerals, critical for making smartphones and cars.
The U.S. State Department says it's deploying several dozen disaster relief workers to Caribbean countries hard hit by Hurricane Melissa. The government shutdown here at home, now day 29, and now the USDA saying it will not extend SNAP assistance beyond November 1st. A jury in Peoria, Illinois, convicting former Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson of second-degree murder in the shooting death of Sonia Massey. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth posting tonight on X that there's been another U.S. military airstrike on an alleged drug boat in the eastern Pacific, this one killing four people. This is ABC News. Israeli forces say they struck what the IDF called 30 terrorist targets in Gaza before saying a ceasefire is back in effect. The Gaza Civil Defense says at least 91 Palestinians were killed. Computer chipmaker NVIDIA has crossed a significant threshold.
Earlier this week, Apple became a $4 trillion company. Wedbush Securities tech analyst Dan Ives says it's a big moment for the iPhone maker.
So this is a company that's been through a lot of growth issues the last few years, still getting to $4 trillion. I think speaks to just the power of this global consumer brand that's unmatched.
He adds analysts will be paying close attention to sales of the new iPhone 17 when it reports third quarter earnings, in particular the new ultra-thin iPhone Air model. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Marco Andretti is retiring from racing. The 38-year-old grandson of Mario Andretti says he plans to focus on his daughter, business ventures, and a memoir. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Jordan Love, Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers quarterback Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week after his performance Sunday night against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Love threw for 360 yards, three touchdowns, and had the highest quarterback rating of his career at 134.2. A month ago, he threw an interception in the fourth quarter against Cleveland that cost him in that game against the Browns. Was that an opportunity to grow from?
Everything's a growth opportunity. You know, you talk about that game, you talk about years past games, you know, you go all the way back to playoff game in San Fran, ending the game on a pick. So there's so many moments that are learning opportunities that, you know, you get back in these situations again at the end of games when it's the most critical times. You got to go make plays and you take all those experiences and just kind of learn from them. And some of these situations, you got to go out there and make plays and you got to make some of these tight contested throws, but it's all about being smart. You know, I've learned from all those mistakes and go out there and maybe win the game on a 2-minute drill.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Truth and Treason is a really good film set in World War II Germany. The plot sees Helmuth, a teenage boy, watch his Jewish friend taken away by the Nazis, which changes his outlook on Hitler's Germany. After hearing messages from around the world on an old radio conflicting what he hears at home, Helmuth spreads the word covertly at night until he is caught. The film is based on a true story, and the parallels to what is happening currently in America are undeniable. The story is inspiring, and the lead character, courageous. Definitely worth a look. look. Even if you happen to see a movie that does not feature Paul Rudd in the cast, he's convincing other actors to take roles. Bobby Cannavale said it was Rudd who convinced him to take his role in Only Murders in the Building for season 5. The Tony Award-winning Cannavale plays talking corpse Nicky Cacciamiglio, a mobster who gets whacked. Season 5 comes to a close Tuesday night, October 28th. I have to check out that show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9, WBZH, Hayward's Real News and Great Conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, areas of fog, lows dropping down into the low 30s. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, highs in the upper 40s. On Friday, some showers around, highs again in the upper 40s. A little rain chance again Saturday, currently 49 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, how to not get burned by the same old insurance games when it comes to Medicare Advantage, which really isn't anything like regular Medicare.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, really excited tonight, as always. We've been landing on Wednesday with our friend Arvina Martin, and she's Emerge Wisconsin's executive director. And Arvina is the first Native person ever elected to Madison, Wisconsin's Common Council, and was elected vice president in 2020 by her peers. And she's an enrolled member of Ho-Chunk and also Stockbridge Muncie. She'll be on in just a few minutes. I just wanted to touch base with everybody and talk a little bit about what's going on here. On the 1st, we have the gathering of our children and the returning adoptee powwow at 1530 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And we're really surprised and really happy, and not surprised, but really happy to have this go on. And this is the 19th annual, so next year is going to be a big 20. And I know I have seen people from all over the country come here and work on their healing. And so that's awesome. And I'll be there all day, powwow, and grand entries at 4. And then there's a special grand entries at 1 and 7. And there's special special ceremony at 4 o'clock, and I just wanted to let everybody know that. And also November 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Astor House, we're going to celebrate music legend Paul Mesta's 70th birthday, and it's a benefit concert for AM 950. So I'll be there for that too. And that's really, really exciting. And then one more thing I want to bring up too, well, a couple more things is we have that big film festival happening at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. I just want to remind everyone that that's free. And we're going to have Rihanna Yazzie's Winter's Love on the 6th. And that is at 6 p.m. And on the 23rd at 2 p.m., we will have Ajawak's Indian Horse. And he'll be there and doing Q&A. And I'll be emceeing that. And Smoke Signals on the 29th at 2 p.m. And that's also at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, and it's celebrating Native American Heritage Month here in Minnesota. And there's a surprise that's going to happen on Smoke Signals, and I will be telling you that as time goes on here. But that's a few things that are going on, and I just wanted to mention one other thing too before I get Arvina on. And I really appreciate people supporting our sponsors. and saying hi when Wendy and I are running around and seeing you in the community. And also our Patreon, it really, really helps out with everything here. And it's just a big peeny geegee. And so let's bring Arvina Martin on. Arvina, welcome. I just read your bio too. It's always impressive. And I really, really appreciate you coming in, stopping in and talking things over with us in our community here on AM 950 and also civic media all across Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. As always, it's always nice to sit and talk and go over things that are affecting all of us across the country and in Indian country, in Minnesota and Wisconsin in particular, and talking about what we can do to be proactive and talk about things that we can do to help during these very trying times.
Well, I know there's a thing coming up here, and Minnesota governor has really stepped up in more of a ceremonial thing where they've put $4 million into SNAP program here in Minnesota. But, you know, as the governor's calling out the feds, is that there's mechanisms out there that they can do to help our relatives that count on this and need this. And so many people that we know and we're friends with and that are were on SNAP at one time, and that really helped them. And so this is just, you know, Republicans hating on poor people.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm someone who has been on food assistance, and it helped me during a difficult time, making sure that I was able to provide the nutrition that particularly my then small daughter needed. And that it again, this is such a basic need. There's nothing like luxury or like this is basic people's basic needs, and needing calories to be able to function, you know, in your body and to be able to go to work, to take care of your kids, to make sure your kids, you know, have all of the vitamins and minerals and the nutrients that they need so that they can go to school and learn. And again, this is like probably the most basic need, and it's being neglected. And you kind of mentioned this, the thing that is particularly maddening about this is that there's a contingency fee, a contingency fund that was created specifically so that SNAP benefits would not be affected during a government shutdown. So there is a mechanism in place to fix this, and the Trump administration won't. They won't.
Right.
It is a decision of this administration not to let this money go to help people eat. And and perhaps you can tell in my voice, but like I'm very angry about this, and it makes it hard to talk about some of these issues and be able to talk about it in a way that remains constructive and remains polite, or like it doesn't get down and dirty, because this is happening right now, and it's absolutely preventable. And not only is the administration not releasing these funds, which they have and are supposed to be for this exact situation, they're blaming the Democrats for it.
Yeah,
the Democrats, who have no like majority in the House, in the Senate, we're not in the White House. The judiciary is not held by progressives. And to blame it on Democrats is absolutely, I mean, first of all, it's absurd, but it's also, you know, passing the buck from something that they could easily do without intervention from Congress. Like, it just Donald Trump could say today, yes, release this fund, and it would happen.
Well, I want to mention a name to you, too. We got a minute and a half left in this segment, and I'll let you go on this. Is like Mike Johnson's been all around on all these TV shows, and I see little clips of him. And I don't know if you say something. I think this administration and the Republicans nowadays, the new Republicans, the MAGA Republicans, lie enough where they think they believe their own lies. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And I think that it's not comforting at this point, but I do think history will judge. And in this situation, they're not going to come out looking great. So this is going to be a time, like I mentioned last week, we have to help take care of each other. And if you have means and are able to contribute to local food pantries, other organizations that help get food into the bellies of people who need it, give them money. If you live in an urban area and people are being very generous, and there are people in other communities whose food banks are not as well contributed to, contribute there.
Hey, we got to take a quick break, but I'm corrected here in a good way. Governor Walz gave $4 million to the food shelves, not actually to SNAP. Big peeny geegee for that correction. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
Across Native communities, tradition and connection guide every step. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, celebrates that spirit, helping generations come together to shape the future of Native communities. MVAT has empowered Native American communities by bringing friends and families together to talk about important issues and sharing helpful information about how and where to vote. By learning from each other and leaning on trusted relationships, MVAT helps Native communities feel confident voting and making their choices heard. Voting is more than a right. It's a way to protect the needs of your community and have a say in the future. MVAT has been helping Native communities across the state for 9 years, creating stronger, more engaged communities every election. Vote together, stand together. Explore a fact sheet that explains some of the elected offices on the ballot and why they matter to you, your family, and your community at MakeVotingATradition.org. That's MakeVotingATradition.org.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Are you a Metro Transit rider? Join the Free Riders Club and let your voice be heard. Our motto is Transit Voices United, and when you become a member, you'll participate more closely in decision-making, plus earn the opportunity for exclusive merchandise at Metro Transit events. Help improve your transit system. We value your opinion. Join at metrotransit.org/ridersclub and start being rewarded today. That's the Riders Club at metrotransit.org/ridersclub.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I am here with Arena Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and our friend across the river here, the St. Croix River here in the Twin Cities, but we don't hold that against it. We have so much to talk about, and hopefully after we talk about Emerge Wisconsin and updates on that, that we'll have a little time to talk about football, because that's all the time we have here because of what's going on with the Vikings.
Yeah. I mean, we had a good week, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like I keep on saying to you over the past few years, it's like, I looked at a statistic here before we get into some more snap talk and some other things. I looked at a statistic since 1992, the Detroit Lions have had like 12 quarterbacks. The Vikings have had roughly around the same, maybe 14 quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, and Green Bay's had three.
Yep.
That's consistency.
That is, it's absolutely insane to me. And actually, Brett Favre took over when I was like in middle school or high school, and then retired for the first time when I was pregnant with my daughter, who is now 17. And I actually missed Aaron Rodgers' first game because I had to go to birthing class. And you know, that's her entire lifetime before Jordan Love came in a couple of years ago. It's wild. And how blessed we have been as a Packers organization to have, you know, first off a Hall of Famer quarterback, but then to have another one immediately after.
Right.
Yeah. And people are talking about, you know, the fact that Bart Starr and mm-hmm. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers all won Super Bowls when they were 27. And
weird.
Next week, I believe, but early November, Jordan Love turns 27. So we'll see if this pattern holds. Got my fingers crossed.
That's awesome. Well, I guess we don't have to talk the rest of the show about that, because that's your report. And that's a really interesting too, because whenever I hear about the 27, that's like Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and people like that,
that's for music in Hollywood. For football, for Green Bay Packers football, the 27 club is Super Bowl rings.
Hey, I have some bad news that just came up. It's breaking news. Line 5 permit was issued to Enbridge just now. And as you know, Arvina, we started Native Roots Radio because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation that was going on 9 years ago. And so we are water protectors to the max here on Native Roots Radio. And I just wanted to put that out there to the universe that, you know, we're not happy, and we're going to be fighting that very soon here on Native Roots Radio and all our relatives around.
Yeah, I had not heard that. So I just, while you were talking, quick looked it up. And yeah, like this pipeline will go through the Cuckagan Sloughs, which is the wetland area that feeds into Lake Superior, which is the largest source of drinking water, fresh water on the planet.
Yes.
And to mess with something, because, you know, it's not a matter of if a pipeline fails.
Exactly.
It will fail at some point. And not only does it threaten that, the development will and the construction will certainly affect wild rice production and growth, and therefore is going to have another negative effect on Native people, on our Ojibwe relatives who do have the rights guaranteed through their treaties to go and harvest wild rice. And so, you know, it's sad, and it's very short-sighted, because what are we going to do when Lake Superior is no longer viable and we can no longer use it?
Absolutely. And we know, like you said, pipelines leak. This is very disturbing to hear. This has been a long fight. We've had people on the show about Line 5 for at least 3 years, or at least since Line 3 ended up here in a not a good way, because, as you know, Lake Itasca, right up there where the pipeline went through, is where the Mississippi starts. And, you know, if you've ever been to Lake Itasca, you can drink that water. And now you can't, you know, and this is 3 short years. And they're coming after the boundary waters next with mining, too. So we need to impeach this president as soon as possible and get things righted here. But, I'm going to have to get my American Indian Movement jean jacket out with Water is Life on there and start really raising heck again.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm, again, with my quick research to verify, the project would cross close to 200 waterways. and potentially, temporarily at least, at the very least, affect about 101 acres of these wetlands that exist in Ashland and Iron counties. And in order to do this, they are going to have to blast bedrock, and they're going to have to drill in these waterways. And it's going to have an even more direct impact on the Bad River Ojibwe, and is absolutely likely to violate their own water standards. And this is just, I mean, this is disastrous.
I'm glad you brought up Bad River, because they've been on the show, and there's a documentary out there about this whole mess happening. And, we're water protectors, and we're going to stay tuned on this, but I appreciate you doing that quick research. And I also appreciate Patrick from the mothership, AM950, sending me this update that just happened.
Yeah. And Enbridge does not have a great record.
No.
Of the safety and the structure of the actual structures. Right. They've on line three, they breached aquifers.
Yeah.
And in 2010, there was a spill that released more than 1.2 million gallons of oil into the Kalamazoo River in Michigan. The potential for error, there's a high likelihood of error. And this organization has proved itself to be susceptible to these errors.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. And I just feel like, when they were here for line three, the big push was union jobs. Well, these union jobs came from all over the country. They didn't help the unions in, per se, Minnesota or northern Minnesota specifically. And the jobs that they did give to Native Americans and people that were up north for Line 3 were minimal, holding stop signs and being contract workers and not having insurance and not being part of the union. And so they come in and want to fool you as a community that they're coming in and doing good things for the community. I was so sick in the last few years, would be high school hockey, which Minnesota is huge in, and our basketball tournament's huge, and see Enbridge advertising in these things, and people thinking that they're good, and they're not good people. They're a foreign country that's coming here and is messing with our resources and for their gain. We're not going to see that oil. It's not helping us. It's just a pipeline that's going to leak right through our country.
And I'm a union member, but me not too. The same kind of union, but I appreciate that they are looking out for their members in terms of making sure that they have employment. Unfortunately, I think that these jobs also, end up being temporary, because it doesn't take forever to build them. And it still leaves, their workers in jeopardy in terms of the, how it does affect our water systems, and
the community's in jeopardy too, because of the man camps. And here we go again. And these are the things that, the drugs come in, sexual predators come in, and people that were up north were working for Enbridge and staying at unhoused shelters because they didn't want to pay for rent. And they were using the unsheltered places up there for free, so they didn't have to pay for rent. So this is just, we're too used to this, Arvina, that we can talk about this for the rest of the show, but I want to really swing next segment and really talk something positive about not the Packers, but Emerge Wisconsin. And then maybe we can end up in the last segment, talk a little bit about the White House and what's happening there.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump said to begin his meeting with China's President Xi, the two leaders engaging in South Korea. ABC's Rachel Scott traveling with the president.
The president says there's a framework of a deal on everything from tariffs to fentanyl to ending the Chinese boycott of American soybeans that has pushed some American farmers toward bankruptcy. It would also loosen restrictions on China's sale of rare earth minerals, critical for making smartphones and cars.
The U.S. State Department says it's deploying several dozen disaster relief workers to Caribbean countries hard hit by Hurricane Melissa. The government shutdown here at home, now day 29, and now the USDA saying it will not extend SNAP assistance beyond November 1st. A jury in Peoria, Illinois, convicting former Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson of second-degree murder in the shooting death of Sonia Massey. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth posting tonight on X that there's been another U.S. military airstrike on an alleged drug boat in the eastern Pacific, this one killing four people. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Jordan Love, Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers quarterback Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week after his performance Sunday night against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Love threw for 360 yards, three touchdowns, and had the highest quarterback rating of his career at 134.2. A month ago, he threw an interception in the fourth quarter against Cleveland that cost him in that game against the Browns. Was that an opportunity to grow from?
Everything's a growth opportunity. You know, you talk about that game, you talk about years past games, you know, you go all the way back to playoff game in San Fran, ending the game on a pick. So there's so many moments that are learning opportunities that, you know, you get back in these situations again at the end of games when it's the most critical times. You got to go make plays and you take all those experiences and just kind of learn from them. And some of these situations, you got to go out there and make plays and you got to make some of these tight contested throws, but it's all about being smart. You know, I've learned from all those mistakes and go out there and maybe win the game on a 2-minute drill.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Heller High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park, maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, areas of fog, lows dropping down into the low 30s. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, highs in the upper 40s. On Friday, some showers around, highs again in the upper 40s. A little rain chance again Saturday, currently 40 degrees.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones?
Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
And yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
oh, you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hong.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm Lisa.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, I want to introduce Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin. His executive director, Arvina, is the first Native person ever elected to Madison, Wisconsin's Common Council, and was elected vice president in 2020 by her peers. Arvina is an enrolled member of Ho-Chunk Nation and Stockbridge Muncie, which we don't like to talk about, but we do. It's written right here, so I have to read it.
Shout out to my Stockbridge fam. I love you guys.
Right on, right on. Well, I just got to tell you this too. Adam Beach was in town like for just a couple hours at the Indian Center, Minneapolis Indian Center, and he's back flying home back to Canada. But he was here real quick, and people got to do selfies. So shout out to Adam Beach. And we have a surprise coming up for the 29th of showing smoke signals at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, and I'll be doing the MCing there. And I'll tell you off air who's coming on, Arvina, but I'm doing the secret
the tease.
The curiosity approach, I think they call it in the. But hey, well, let's talk. I want to swing by and talk about some positive things. We got an election here in Minnesota coming up next week, and I know we have great things with your organization. So let's talk about Emerge Wisconsin and an update on Emerge.
Yeah, we are still accepting applications for our class of 2026. We are, if you're not familiar with Emerge Wisconsin, we are an organization that trains Democratic women and non-binary folks who feel comfortable in female-centered spaces on how to run for office. We want to train people to, you know, from the local level all the way up to, you know, the top, and get Emerge alums elected. We know that when women are elected to office, the laws that get passed do more to help families than when women are not involved in the process. And that's really important, especially in this time when we are seeing what happens when our social safety net is failing. So we want to make sure that we are electing more women to office. And I, you know, very much want to see more Native women elected to office at every level, on school boards, city councils, county boards, Congress, state legislators. Mm-hmm. You know, that helps all of us. And so if you are thinking about a run for office, you know, you should apply for our class of 2026. I, Robert, will drop you some of our links here that you can share, because we want to make sure that this is that we are representative of the state, and that includes Native people. Too mm-hmm. often we are not remembered when it comes to representation or things, because we're a smaller group. That doesn't mean our voices are not important, and it doesn't mean that our experiences are not valid. And we absolutely need more Native people elected at every office, every level of office. And I am happy to help anybody that's thinking about running. You know, you can email me at Arvina, Arvina, at emergewi.org. And if you're not in Wisconsin, I will be happy to point you in the right direction for where you live, so you can get trained as well. We are also having our annual event, which we are calling A Seat at the Table, that is going to be happening next week in Madison on Thursday, November 6th. And I'm pretty excited about that as well, because we are going to be joined by both Democratic leaders of our state legislature, State Senator Diane Hesselbein, who is also an Emerge alum, and Representative Greta Neubauer. And we are going to be talking about, you know, the things that have happened in the past year, the work that they've been doing in the legislature, as well as kind of a preview of 2026, because, you know, Democrats, we are hoping to take the trifecta and take over majority in both houses of the legislature, as well as the governor's office. And that is what we are going to be working towards in 2026. So if you are interested and you're going to be in Madison, you should come join us next week on Thursday. And, you know, feel free to contribute to us. You know, help us do the work that we need to do, because, you know, we're an important part of this, this kind of democratic infrastructure, and that we help identify candidates in places. We're helping to build the bench, and we, you know, are looking to do it in areas outside of Madison and Milwaukee as well, because we need to make sure that people are represented all across the state.
Yeah, things are primed to do that. If you're thinking about running, definitely get a hold of Emerge. And what's exciting too is the alumni that have come out of Emerge and Emerge Wisconsin. And I always want to talk, you know, bring up the fact that your last two election cycles were very, very awesome for Emerge alum.
Absolutely. You know, in 2024, in both the spring and the fall elections, we had 41 of our alums run for office. 38 of them won, which is astounding, and about a rate of 92% for a win rate, which is absolutely unheard of. And it's not likely that we will have that high of a win rate, you know, forever, because, you know, that's really high. But it is a testament to the work that we do. It's a testament to the training that we do, that candidates are prepared. And it's also a testament to the network that we've built, and that there are so many Emerge alumna across the state that are excited and willing to help out their Emerge family, whether it comes to knocking on doors, planning events, you know, making phone calls, contributing money to, you know, and doing things that are needed in order to run a successful campaign and to win your election.
Yeah, absolutely. And people that are watching, and we get quite a few people watching all over Turtle Island. We have put up the websites for Emerge. EmergeAmerica.org/contribute is up now. And I just feel really excited to have you on and talk about this, because this is the things that we can do. And I believe that this next cycle is going to be very good for us people that vote blue. And let's get some good people in there, and let's get the training in. And if you're thinking about it, you know, get a hold of Emerge Wisconsin. And that's just awesome. You know, get trained and do the thing. And, you know, there's a lot of people, as you know, Arvina, over the years that I've run across that, you know, really just did the, you know, or wondered why somebody wasn't doing something. And then I realized I was somebody and come from all walks of life and have run.
Absolutely. And I think that we kind of sell ourselves short in terms of our abilities and our, you know, our qualifications. You know, mm-hmm. I think so many people think, well, you need to be an attorney, or you need to have gone to an Ivy League college, and you need to be independently wealthy. No, I mean, like, look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yes,
who
yes.
was a bartender at that point, but mm-hmm. she was also an organizer and yeah. got involved that way and made connections with people. And you know, like I've said this so many times, the more differences we have in experiences, lived experiences, professional fields, etc., in office, the more of these blind spots that we're going to cover, and the more good that these legislative bodies and policymakers can make for everybody, and it can be more inclusive of people, and we can make sure that folks' concerns are being addressed. And you know, if you are thinking about running for office, don't count yourself out because you don't have qualification A, B, or C. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know,
you got to just want it. And I always like to tell this story too, because it's an anniversary of sorts popping up on my Facebook feed that we were at Standing Rock, and AOC was inspired by Standing Rock when she went there to run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, talk about a grassroots event. I mean, mm-hmm. and we know that this was not necessarily done in a political way. Like, not everybody that went out there was thinking, oh, this is political and I'm going to do this. But we're thinking, this is where I need to make a stand. Mm-hmm. And we need to protect what is important. And that's not necessarily a political issue. It gets co-opted by political types and politicians, mm-hmm. et cetera. But, you know, the work needs to be done. And Indian Country showed out at Standing mm-hmm. Rock. And, mm-hmm. like, I still, you know, have been to the NMAI Smithsonian, and they have Standing Rock included in one of their exhibits. And I love that they have one of those poles that had all the pieces of wood that said, you know, yes. London is this far away. And I was looking at it. Yeah. And I saw one for all of us, all of our Ho-Chunk fam. There was one out there that said, however many miles to Dell's Dam. And I was so excited, you know, that we were included and we were part of that.
Big part. We had our own area. We had our own Ho-Chunk area, and it was very fun. We ran into a bunch of Ho-Chunks out there, and that's another start of our as Native Americans really standing up. I really believe this is, we've had a bunch over the years, whether it's been Wounded Knee, and that was really quashed by the federal government. But Standing Rock has really done a lot of things, whether it's reservation dogs or shows like that or movies that came out, like Predator, and all these things that happened afterwards, along with all these people that jumped ahead. And we did the radio show, and we wanted to bring out information that was not being reported out there. We had people boots on the ground reporting to us every week on what was happening at Standing Rock when we first started.
Absolutely. And those actions for people that participated, whether they got to go out there or even, I remember I wasn't able to go out there because I had a young child who was in school. But I remember, you know, people saying things like people resisting on Facebook and putting yes. down that they were all at Standing Rock, and those actions that everybody took moved the needle. Absolutely moved the needle.
Wow. Let's talk about that again. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back. We're here with Arvina Martin, Emerge Wisconsin.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Are you a Metro Transit rider? Join the Free Riders Club and let your voice be heard. Our motto is Transit Voices United, and when you become a member, you'll participate more closely in decision-making, plus earn the opportunity for exclusive merchandise at Metro Transit events. Help improve your transit system. We value your opinion. Join at metrotransit.org/ridersclub and start being rewarded today. That's the Riders Club at metrotransit.org/ridersclub.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this segment is brought to you by bringing awareness to our U.S. wolf and bear population. Just say no to the hunt. Oh! Woo! And then I think we got to do a bear, too. It's like, hey, boo-boo, get some picnic baskets.
That's a good one.
hey, I just want to I'm here with Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin. I just wanted to finish up what you were saying there, and I just back up just a second. So what happened was the police were monitoring what was happening, and the FBI were monitoring what was happening in Standing Rock, and there was a call to action for people to check in at Standing Rock. So remember that's kind of the setup of what you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. People saying that law enforcement was using people checking in on Facebook to go after people. And so as a kind of civil disobedience, folks that were nowhere near Standing Rock and couldn't make it out there, that was an easy thing that they could do to kind of thwart that kind of surveillance and that activity.
Yeah, there was a place called Facebook Hill or Facebook Mountain, and that was the only place in the whole area that you could get Wi-Fi, because we found out afterwards that they were jamming the Wi-Fi and we couldn't get information out there. And just talked to Dallas Goldtooth just recently, and he was my go-to person. He was out there, I think, 90% of the time and gave daily updates of what was happening. So shout out to Dallas and Goldtooth. And that gave us, the okay to drive 500 miles in an RV and make sure that we could bring supplies and the place wasn't shut down and things like that. But so, Arvina, we already talked a little sports, but I just want to mention this to you, is that we had the Queen of Ice was here a few days ago, and there was a big protest out there. They're coming and they're here, and protesters are ready for this. How is Wisconsin in regards to these things coming, like the National Guard and whatnot? Have you heard anything?
I've not. I mean, the only kind of hubbub I've heard, it was previously when J.D. Vance came to Wisconsin, and I think he went to like La Crosse or Eau Claire, which for folks that aren't familiar are on the western side of the state, like fairly close to Minnesota. And, he kind of said, oh, well, what do you think about us sending the National Guard to Milwaukee? And everybody's like, yeah. Milwaukee's on the other side of the state as well. And they don't, the mayor of Milwaukee, Chevy Johnson, is not asking for it. The county executive, David Crowley, is not asking for it, or asking for the National Guard to come. You know, that Milwaukee is not a lawless place. You know, right. You should go visit. It's great. There's lots of amazing things to do there. And, you know, people should visit. But we have not, thank goodness, we've not heard the same. But we still have organizations that are doing work to monitor the situation and are tracking and are able to follow up. If people think that they've seen ice in their towns, you know, mm-hmm. they're able to verify. So organizations like Voces de la Frontera do great work, and they organize as well and work with a lot of people and in civic engagement there, and especially in the Milwaukee area. And, you know, it's taking organizations like that to do the work to help make sure the public is aware of what's happening and making sure that the public has that accurate information. And knows, and we both, I know that you have heard about our own tribal members, Ho-Chunk Nation tribal members, maybe not so much recently, but, you know, at the beginning, we're being stopped in places like Toma.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, well, I got to give our nation a shout out too, because they're going to help out with school lunches for, people kindergarten through 12, and they're writing a check. So shout out to Ho-Chunk, as always, legislature and the president, and for taking care of that and reaching out, especially with the SNAP and things that are happening. And we need the food banks. Hey, shout out to Ho-Chunk. I just wanted to say that again. So again, you know, I got to ask you this, and I don't know if I want to take my aluminum cap on when I say this, but you know, I was reading that Hitler built a big building and had a bomb shelter built at the same time. And it made me think a pause with this, the East Wing being built. Your thoughts?
I mean, I also don't want to get into conspiracy theories, but like, it can be hard when this administration goes to the worst possible thing all the time, and then is completely non-transparent about the process. You know, was there any announcement that they were going to tear that on the East Wing before it happened? Like, I just remember all of a sudden seeing pictures of it being destroyed, and I was like, what is happening?
They said he was going to build, well, of course, he lied 35,000 times when he was the first 4 years from 2016 to 2020. And he said that the East Wing was not going to be touched, and this ballroom was going to be built right next to it. And the next day, they tore down the East Wing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they paved over the Rose Garden, you know, and doing all of this, things that do not need to be done during a time when Americans are struggling.
Yes.
You know, his focus is on that ballroom.
That's what the press secretary said. That's what she said, quote unquote.
Yeah. And not, it's not on people who are going to be going hungry, who are going to have to figure out what they're going to do, not for people that are going to be worried about what their premiums are going to look like on their healthcare if these subsidies don't continue, and what that is going to do to, you know, so many Americans. He's not looking out for us. He wants a gold-plated ballroom.
Yeah.
And that's what he is working on.
And he wants it named after him.
Of course he does. He puts his name on, you know, he puts his name on everything. And
Trump Steaks, I just had to remember. Trump University, all these great things. And don't forget the casinos, when he said in the 80s that I don't even think these people look Indian that are running these casinos. You know,
The Mashantucket Pequots.
Right.
In Connecticut. And
thank you.
Yeah. And I mean, look, the beginning days of the administration, he was talking about how to get rid of birthright citizenship and how to invalidate the Native American citizen or the American Indian Citizenship Act of 1924.
Right.
I mean,
100 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Arvina, I feel like I should have you on every day. This is this is like very
cleansing, but also making me want to do stuff. And I hope people out there, excuse me, listening.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:20, I'll be joined by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. We discuss his lawsuit joining with numerous other attorneys general to restore SNAP funding and make sure Americans don't go hungry.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The U.S. State Department tonight announcing that it's sending dozens of disaster relief workers, including urban search and rescue teams, to Caribbean countries hard hit by Hurricane Melissa, Jamaica, Haiti, and the Bahamas. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth posted on X tonight that there's been another U.S. military airstrike on an alleged drug boat in the eastern Pacific that killed four people. President Trump set to meet with China's President Xi Jinping for the first time in 6 years. ABC's Selena Wang.
The first key point is around rare earth minerals. The U.S. is hoping that China will delay its expansion of export controls on these critical materials that are necessary for making everything from smartphones to AI systems to cars. The second point is around tariffs, of course.
A Peoria, Illinois jury convicting former sheriff deputy Sean Grayson of second-degree murder and the shooting death of Sonia Massey. Federal Reserve has voted to cut interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point. This is ABC News.
Fabulous.